You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our associate pastor, Brent Hand, with this week's message.
Okay, I want to read from Luke chapter 5. And this is, in Luke, this is the first time that we see Simon Peter interacting with Jesus. And it says, Jesus said to Simon, "Push out into the deep water. Let down your nets for some fish." And Simon said to him, "Teacher, we have worked all night and we have caught nothing. But because you told me to, I'll let the net down." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish, their net started to break. And they called to their friends working in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and both boats were so full of fish, they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he got down at the feet of Jesus, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man." And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will fish for men." He had an encounter with Jesus. He had a moment with Jesus that changed his life. And last week, that's kind of what we talked about hearing that call to step out and to do something. And that's what Peter got right there, is he got that call. He had that moment with Jesus. But the question is now what? What are we going to do next? You know, it's not enough just to hear it. What are we going to do with it? And there's in the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, he tells a story about C.S. Lewis. He's a professor, and he lectures, you know, and that kind of thing. Talks about theology and apologetics and those kinds of things. And one time when he was giving a lecture or something, he had a guy come up to him and kind of say, "Hey, you know, this is all fine and everything." But he said, "You know, I've experienced God. I was out in the desert and just, you know, under the stars, and I felt the presence of God." And he said, "You know, this all just seems very," he said, "pedantic, very boring, very cookie cutter, you know, and it feels like instructions for something that I've already experienced, and I don't need this." And C.S. Lewis had a great response to him. I don't know if he said it to him there, but he said it in the book. He said, "You know, it's like going to the ocean." He's like, "You go to the ocean, you see the beautiful ocean, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. You know, and you look at it, and you're just in awe of it. And then you go back home, and you pull out an atlas, and you look at the Atlantic Ocean. You're like, that's not what I saw. You know, this is just a boring map with grid on it. And this is nothing the same. You know, it's just, why am I looking at this?" And he said, "But, you know, and that, so you may be happier on the beach, but if you ever plan to go beyond the beach, if you ever plan to get in the boat and sail out into open water, to go to the deeper water, you're going to have to check out the maps. You're going to have to dig in. You're going to have to get rooted." And this is what he said. He said, if you want to go anywhere, the map is absolutely necessary. As long as you are content with walks on the beach, your own glimpses are far more fun than looking at any map. So the question this morning is, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus, or are you happy with just strolls on the beach? Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus, or do you want to go somewhere? Do you just want to sit on the sidelines? Do you want to just dip your toe in every now and then? Our family, we don't go to the beach that often. I'm fine going to the beach just every now and then. Look at it. Looks nice. Same way it was last time I was here. Keep going. But if you want to go somewhere, if you want to do something, we got to dig in. We got to do something deeper. And there's got to be something we've got to do. The world's way is different than God's way. And if we're going to do something, we're going to go somewhere. This is where we have a problem, is because the world we live in, we live in a world of the instant method, of the overnight shipping, of the microwave dinner, of the miracle diet. We want it now. We want it here, right now. And so the world we live in always offers solutions that are quick, that are easy, that are busy, that are loud, that, you know, it's just always something. You know, if it's not the answer, keep scrolling, you'll find it. Or cheap. It's a cheap, you know, it's one low payment, you know. But the way of Jesus is different. The way of Jesus is the opposite. It's long. It's difficult. It's deliberate. And it's costly. The way of Jesus is long, difficult, deliberate, and costly. I'm sorry that it's not easy and quick and cheap. I'm sorry. But the way of Jesus is long, difficult, deliberate, and costly. And the church is always called, has always, since the beginning, has been called to be countercultural, to be opposite of the culture. And the culture we live in right now wants everything right now, right here, and as fast as possible. And that's just not the way of Jesus. The journey is long. You know, hurry is not a fruit of the Spirit. The hustle is not a fruit of the Spirit, but long-suffering is. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it praises the patient in spirit. And then Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. I keep saying Paul. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. It's not just me. It's not that I didn't study. Nobody knows. Nobody can figure it out. But we're called to run. There, you know, that run, we're going to read that in a little while. But it says run with perseverance. In other words, it's not a short little jog. It's a marathon. It's a long haul that we're on. So you know, it's not something that's fast and quick. It's something that's long and hard and deliberate. So last week I read this quote from John Eldridge. I want to read it again to bring it back to your attention, because there's something else I want to say about this. He said, "You are a disciple of the system that tutors you, where you turn on a daily basis for guidance on living. For most people, that makes them disciples of the internet, even if they call themselves disciples of Christ." Yep. So what happens when we're conditioned by the internet? Last week, we talked about how it makes us cynical. I also want to point out, you know, when we need an answer and we go to the internet, what happens? We type it in, gives us the answer. It's right there. And when we go to God, though, that's not the way it is. That's not the way God works. And so our minds are being conditioned to think that when we have a problem, we need the answer lickety-split. We need it right now. And God doesn't work that way. I've never experienced that God, oftentimes you go and you need to sit and you need to wait. You need to listen. You need to hear what's going on. We think that, you know, it's like we go to God and it should be like tapping our heels together and we're just going to magically appear where we're supposed to be. But that's just not the case. And I hate that, but that's just the way of Jesus. It's not quick and easy. Peter, he spent 3 years with Jesus, always with him for 3 years. And by the end of it, when Jesus went back to heaven, Peter was still not ready. He wasn't ready for it. He wasn't where he needed to be yet. God still had some stuff to work on. Moses had many encounters with God. We talked last week about him being there at the burning bush and the bush, you know, the voice of God coming out of the bush and talking to him. We think like, that's awesome. But you know what? He still had to climb down the mountain. He still had to go to Egypt. He had to stand in front of Pharaoh. He had to say, "Let my people go," a dozen times or so for Pharaoh to get it through his head. He had to lead the people out and through the wilderness. I mean, there was a whole lot more that had to happen. It's not just you know, beginning and end. Any story that's worth telling has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And the beginning, you know, is usually once upon a time. The end is usually, and they all lived happily ever after. The middle is where all the good stuff happens. You know, not when we're living through it. But that's where the stuff happens that changes and brings about the happy ending. And so we can't be too rushed to just get there. We've got to trust God through the middle. You know, here's the bad news. I do have some good news. Well, kind of good news. No homework today. Someone argued with me, said I did give homework at the end. But no homework today. So y'all excited about that? No homework? If you didn't finish your homework from last week, though, you can finish that up at any time you want to. So hope you did. But here's the bad news today. Is in our journey, there are no shortcuts. There aren't shortcuts. You know, we think like, you know, we have like a retreat or a prayer service or a revival or a youth camp or something. And we think that's going to get us to where we need to look. It's just going to fix everything. The way of Jesus is slow and deliberate and hard and costly. It isn't just a shortcut. There's things that God wants to work on us and take us through. It's not the easiest thing. We think that we get to glorify these moments on the mountain where everything is so clear, where we feel like God's speaking to us and we know what we're supposed to do, and we glorify those moments. But what about the moments where we have to walk through the valley, where we have to walk out what God's spoken to us? I think that is more important than whatever happens on the mountain, because you know what? If we don't do it, if we don't do what God's telling us to do, then what's the point? We've wasted our time. There's no meaning in those face-to-face close moments where we're like, oh, I know exactly what God wants to do. If we don't go do it, if we don't go live it out, what's the point in those moments? So we must go do something about it. Jesus told us, he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That doesn't sound easy. It doesn't sound quick. It doesn't sound cheap. That's the way of Jesus. And in order to do this, we must root ourselves in the scriptures and in prayer. We need that. And that's hard sometimes. It's hard in our lives to carve out time for that. But here's what Jeremiah said. In Jeremiah, I found the scripture. And it tells us about how important it is, how rooted we are in God. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. In other words, cursed is the man who trusts in himself, trusts in what I can do, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert. I don't want to be a shrub. Do you want to be a shrub? Look at the person next to you and say, I don't want to be a shrub. Now look at the other person and really say it this time. Say it with authority. I don't want to be a shrub. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. That's what, if we're not rooted, if we don't have deep roots, if we're not rooted in the things that we're, then the place we need to be rooted in God, in the scripture, in our prayer time, then we're missing out. But it goes on and says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. If you want to be able to produce fruit in the season of drought, it's time right now to get rooted. It's time right now to get your roots in the right place. So how are you going to make it through the hard times without prayer, without regular time with God? If you don't have a prayer life, and we've talked a lot about prayer this year. I know we've had tons of sermons about prayer. It's so imperative to your life as a Christian that we root ourselves in prayer. Jesus, the night before he dies, he goes to pray in the garden. You probably know this story. He goes to pray in the garden, and he takes some disciples with him. And what does Jesus pray? He prays, let this cup pass from me, but if not, God, your will, not mine. That's what he prays. And the disciples he brings with him, what do? They take a little nap. And so when the problems show up, when Jesus begins to get arrested, they've been asleep. They're not ready. Jesus is ready. He's ready to take the cup. He's ready to do the hard thing. He's ready to do what is difficult, what is called for him to do. But the disciples, they're not ready. And so what does Peter do? It says, chapter 18, he says, of John, says that then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Jesus was ready to do the hard thing. Peter wanted, he saw the easy way out. He said, I got this sword. It's about to go down. We're getting out of here. And he tried to cut off what God was trying to do right there. And if we're not careful, we're going to try to do what is easy. When all heck breaks loose, if we're not rooted in the right things, we're going to start trying to do what we can do instead of doing what God has called us to do, instead of doing the things and reacting the ways that he wants us to react. And so I know in times like we're in, sometimes it's easy to think about the worst things, to think about violence or vengeance or retribution. And that is not the way of Jesus. That is not the way that he's taught us to be. That definitely should not be our first go-to action. And that was Peter's that night. But Jesus said, put your sword away. He'd already said before, he told him, you know, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek to him. You know, turn the other cheek. That's where we get that phrase. He also told him, probably the most important, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Paul said, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Jesus taught us a different way. And if we're going to be able to live that way instead of the way that we want to live, the way that we think, what we think looks best, or what we think is, in the moment feels like it's safest or whatever, we're going to have to be rooted in him. And here's the thing is, and this is kind of the whole problem to being rooted, is being rooted takes time. And we ain't got no time. We don't have a whole lot of time, do we? We're busy people. We have things all the time that are going on. We have calendars that are packed. And even when we don't have anything to do, we have something to do. Even when we're bored, we got something right here that can entertain us a little bit and get our minds off of it. We never have to slow down and think about anything. That'd be horrible if we had to do that. And just be somewhere, that'd be crazy. But we live in a world that's constantly trying to busy itself, but we're not called to be busy. We're not called to just be entertained. We're called to be salt and light, and we can't do that if we're distracted. We're called to be still and know that he is God, to be still. And how do we do that? Right now, it's hard to be still in the world that we're in. Anybody else feel that? It's hard to just be somewhere and be still. That's hard. Does anybody else feel that? That's hard sometimes to just be still and not be doing something, looking, reading, scrolling, you know, calling, texting, whatever. I was driving down to pick up my daughter from school one day a few weeks ago, and I was sitting there in the traffic, and I watched as people walked by, you know, coming out of, over there by Gardendale High School, and one woman was walking with her kid, and took a picture, and then was like posting on social media, and then the next person was texting somebody, and somebody had headphones on, walking, bebopping, you know, and the other person was on the phone calling, and nobody, I was like, nobody's just enjoying this day. Nobody's out here just being here, and I'm sitting in my car listening to a podcast, you know, same thing. I've got noise going also. And, you know, if you want to learn to do something, you know what you have to do? You have to practice. When I was a kid, for some reason, I don't know why, my parents signed me up for Little League. I don't know why. I don't know how that happened. It doesn't make any sense looking back on it. There's nothing. I cannot imagine me asking for that to happen. I can't imagine my dad asking me and me saying, that sounds like fun. I don't know. I just know that I played Little League. But I remember my dad would always try to get me to go out and practice, right? Keep your eye on the ball, you know, catching the ball, you know, all that kind of stuff. We throw the ball around, all that. And you know what? I never got any better. You know why? Because I never practiced. Sometimes I go outside, and after about 3 or 4 seconds, I was done. You know, I was done because it wasn't something that was really on my heart to do. And that's the thing. If you really want to be less busy, if you really want to be less distracted, you know what it's going to take from us? It's going to take some practice. If we really want to do it, we'll do it. If we're just saying and it's just lip service, yeah, I probably need to stop. We're not going to do anything. I have some suggestions. But first, did you know that being bored is actually probably good for you? Did you know that? I've got a video that you can watch. It's in the sermon notes. Arthur Brooks, he's a smart guy. I don't know what he is. But he's talking about how important it is to be bored sometimes, and how we just don't ever do that anymore. That when we roll up somewhere, if we're waiting in line, get the phone out. When we're doing some tedious task, we gotta turn on something to make some noise to keep us entertained while we're doing it. And he talked about how good it is to just be alone in your thoughts, because you know why? Because if you're bored, your mind has to wander, and if your mind starts to wander, then you start thinking about things that you wouldn't have thought about before. You start asking yourself hard questions. And so generations before us that weren't constantly having something pumped in to our atmosphere, around us, they were able to sit with the heavy questions of the world. They were able to sit with and ask themselves like questions about their purpose and their identity and their where they were in the world and what mattered to them. And we don't do that. And what do you think that does to people? Probably causes some anxiety. It probably causes some depression. It probably does a whole lot more that we don't even realize. And we need time to be bored. We need time to just be somewhere. And when I'm talking about generations in the past, tell me this: can you think of somebody in your life, somebody that made an impact on you, somebody that means so much to you, that poured into you, that helped you, someone from another generation that was there for you, that taught you, that walked with you? You know what? That didn't happen. I'm guaranteed that it happened because their calendar was full, because they were busy and distracted. It happened because they put all that aside to spend time with you. They put that aside to be intentional with you. And so, you know what? What's it going to be? I got this meme I got to show you. This is the entire human race being held up by old ladies praying. This meme, I want to share it with you because it's true. I feel it's true. It's a true meme. Because I know, looking back at my life, I know some old ladies who prayed for me. I know my grandmother. Such a prayer. I know when I had a problem, I could call my grandmother and she would pray, and dude, stuff would happen. It was crazy. And I know other people who have, and you know what? This generation, and I'm saying not one, I'm saying the people that are on the earth right now, we need some old ladies praying. And I'm not talking about old people, and I'm not just talking about ladies. I'm saying we all need to be some old praying ladies, is what I'm saying. We all need to be lifting up one another. And we're not going to get there if we're distracted. We're going to get there if we're rooted in prayer. Not that we have to figure out when things go bad how to pray, but that we know how to pray, that we know how to just stop and say, God, it's time. I need you right now. And so we need some slow and steady habits. Do you have slow and steady habits? Do you have them? Another word for slow and steady habits, as far as what we're talking about today, is spiritual disciplines. Do you have spiritual disciplines? We don't like that word. I don't like that word. Discipline, that sounds hard. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. I, just a little side story here. My son, Clark, he asked me from time to time, and look, let's not laugh too hard, okay? But he asked me from time to time, Dad, why is your belly so big? And I just, y'all, it's okay. And I have, and Macy, when she was a kid, what she said one time to me is she said, Dad, I love your belly. It looks like you have a whole lot of babies in there. And so me and Clark have had conversations about it. And I told him, like, I'm trying to do something about it. I'm trying to exercise more and eat right and do all these things. And so yesterday, guess what happens? Is I'm sitting there watching TV, and guess who comes in? Clark, and he says, he's six, and he says, Dad, have you done your push-ups today? And I was like, I have not. So guess what I did? Got down on the floor and did some push-ups with Clark, and he can do a lot more than I can. He don't weigh anything, though. He can lift himself up off the ground in no time. And he's wondering why I couldn't do as many as he could do. And he was also doing them improperly, too. That was another thing. He was cheating a little bit. I was doing them the right way. But that's the thing is, discipline is not something we want to do, is it? It's something that's hard, but we do it anyway. It's not like if it's a discipline, it's not just we do it when it's convenient, right? We do it because we have to. You understand? And so do you have spiritual disciplines, not just things you do when it's convenient for you or when you need it, but do you have spiritual disciplines in your life? Here's a few, if you don't know what I'm talking about. One is church. Is church a discipline? Yes, it's a discipline. Now, if you're just showing up, that's not a discipline. But if you're being part of the church, that's a discipline. If you're showing up every chance you get to be there for people, to love people, then it's a discipline. It's something that's important. And grow groups or you know, whatever, a Bible study, whatever you got in your life. You know, if this isn't your church and you can't get excited about this, go find a church to be excited about, okay? If go find a church with grow groups and Bible studies and those kind of things to be excited about. You need that in your life. But, you know, like talking about discipline, sometimes you don't want to do it, but you still go and do it. Sometimes, you know, it's time for grow group, and I'm like, man, I'm tired. I don't know if I got it in me tonight to go. And, man, like every time I go, I'm there with people that are, you know, our past one and the one we just started, sitting there with people, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking how blessed I am to be a part of something like that and have people that are going through what I'm going through and be able to talk about it, be able to walk through things with them and have people praying for me. It's a spiritual discipline to get up and do it. Worship is a spiritual discipline. And I'm not just talking about right here on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about you can worship all throughout the week, wherever you're at, with, without music, it doesn't matter. Worship is a spiritual discipline. When things are going good, when things are going bad. Discipline means we're going to do it regardless. We're going to practice it whether we feel like it or not. Serving, doing something for people. It can be here on Sunday mornings, but it needs to be outside of these walls too. We need to serve people, to love people, to look for the opportunities that are around us, to help people that are around us. Giving, that kind of goes along with that too. You can give to the church, and that's great, and you need to. You need to find a church. If this isn't your church, that you believe in the dream, the purpose of the church, give towards it. If it's not this church, find one that you do like and give to it. But we need to be givers in that way. But also, we need to just be givers. That when we see an opportunity to give, we give. We want to give. We're looking for a chance to give. We find ways. We're seeking out ways to give, you know, instead of avoiding trying to be a giver. Witnessing, telling people about Jesus. Trying to find ways to bring it up. That's spiritual discipline. Finding a way to bring that up in everyday life. That's a spiritual discipline. Praying, reading scripture. Those, I ended with those two because those are probably the first two things you thought about. I'll do the other ones first just so that we could end there. But those are things that we've got to do. It's not something like just when I want to read the Bible, but when I need to, which is every day. And praying, it can't just be something we do when we're in trouble, you know, when things are going bad. It has to be something we're constantly doing. Anybody here good on all those? Like you feel like you're just acing all that stuff? Anybody? You can finish the sermon if you want to, if you're here. No, we've all got some work to do. We've all got some things, and we'd all like to have some more spiritual discipline in our life. We all need it. If we're going to be rooted and we're going to be able to stand through whatever the world throws at us, we're going to have to be rooted. And we're going to have these spiritual disciplines to get there. But again, the problem is we don't have time. So how can we make time? Let me tell you. How long do you think the average person spends on their phone every day? Some of y'all know because y'all were here last service. 5 hours and 16 minutes every day is the average that a person spends on their phone. Some of y'all are a lot closer to it than you think. You're probably a lot closer to it than you think. I guarantee if you don't know how much time you spent, you're probably a lot closer. If you're not paying attention, you're a lot closer to it than you think you are. And that number is up 30 minutes from last year. In other words, the needle is going in the wrong direction. It's going the opposite direction. 53% of Americans say they want to decrease their phone time. They may not do anything about it, but they want to. And the benefits of this are you have better time management, you have better mental health, increase your focus, your attention span, you get better sleep, improve your physical health, healthier social life. 69% of people in the last year, this is crazy, 69% of people in the last year have had a phone-related health issue. 69%. Eye strain, neck pain, headaches, trouble sleeping, anxiety. 69% of people, a lot of people in this room have had that in the last year. And so if it's doing that to us physically, if it's doing that to us mentally, what is it doing to us spiritually? I don't know that I can create a poll to really tell you, but I don't think spending 78 days in a year on our phone is helping us. I don't think it's getting us closer to Jesus unless we're just reading the Bible out a whole lot. What are we afraid to miss out on? What are you afraid to miss out on? Because I tell you what you're missing out on. You're missing out on so much. And I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I'm preaching to myself too this morning, okay? So we've got to make some room to develop spiritual disciplines. How are we going to do it? I want to suggest something. I originally wanted to say a fast, social media fast is what I was thinking originally. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, like, there's some people that y'all ain't on social media. You're not doing that. That's not your thing. And some of you don't, and it's not even maybe a phone. It's just media in other ways, too, because there's video games, there's the news, there's all kinds of things that are noise in our life and keep us from where we need to be and having time to be rooted. So just a few things. Here's some ideas. And I would like to ask us, do all of these, please, or try them. Think about them. Think about how you can do it. And you might want to take out your phone right now. I know I'm talking out two sides of my mouth, telling you not to use your phone, and also asking you to take your phone out right now. Take a picture of this so you can see it later. I know you're going to look at your phone later, so you can look at your phone later and figure this out for yourself. And this is the part where I said you kind of do have homework today. I'm sorry. Number one, though, set a time for you to be away from your phone, your screens daily. Not just your phone, screens in general. Find some time where you're not in front of a screen, where you're not, where you're able to just be, like we talked about a minute ago, especially during your prayer time. I feel like that helps me a whole lot. And again, try this. Try for yourself. What can you do? I know sometimes when I read my Bible on my phone. Sometimes I write notes, prayer journal type notes on my phone. But there's all these other things that are on my phone too that distract me, and I get a thought. I think, oh, I need to Google this, and then 30 minutes later, I'm still sitting there reading something completely different, you know, on some other app playing, you know, some game or something instead of doing what I came there to do. So what if we remove screens from our prayer time or just find some time during the day where we're not on our screens? Set screen time limits for yourself. You can do that. You can set things. I'm a little embarrassed. I had to do that with social media. I had to say, look, there's only a certain amount of time I'm going to spend on social media. So when I get on social media now, I get in, I get out. Like, that's just real quick. It's not a long thing. No scrolling. I don't know. That's kind of a hard thing. But what if we didn't scroll? Because I know that's what kills us, is the algorithm knows what we want to see. And the algorithm keeps on giving it to us, so we'll keep on scrolling. And one day, we're going to find whatever it is. We're going to find that last puppy dog video that's going to change our life or something, whatever we're scrolling to find. But then I was going to say fast social media, but I changed it to just say fast all media, because like, or whatever media is that affects you. For you, fill in the blank, kind of. Because, again, some people that don't use social media that much. There's some people that you have some other kind of media that brings noise to your life. Whatever that is, what is it that you can fast there that maybe can help you make room to be rooted in those spiritual disciplines and develop those? And then no phones during face-to-face time. When you're with somebody, try to put your phone away and not look at it. You know, I mean, yeah, if somebody calls and it's an emergency situation, sure. But, you know how it is when you're, be present with somebody. Be present with them and try to keep the phone out of that way. And the other day I came to the coffee shop, and this is something else I've been trying to do. I came to the coffee shop and I've been trying not to, when I'm waiting somewhere, to automatically pull my phone out and look at it. I've been trying to sit and be, because I can't, feel like I can't, got to practice what I preach. So before I preach this, I felt like I needed to practice it first. So the other day I came here and ordered a coffee, and I stood over to the side waiting for my coffee, and immediately my hand was on my phone, and I started pulling. I was like, nope, I'm going to sit right here and just be. And you know what I did? I sat there and I looked at everybody else on their phones. Everybody else was scrolling. And it's just kind of disheartening, you know, to see people like that and think about what we're missing out on. So try your best to put that away. If we want to be rooted, we're going to have to make time for it. And this is one of the ways that I think is killing us right now. And then pray with us on Saturday, September 27th. We're going to pray that morning. And I'll get more information before that. So please join us for that. Make some time. You have the ability to make time. And we all kind of have different habits, different schedules, different things we have to do. Take the ownership and do it, okay? Hebrews chapter 12 says this. We already talked about it a little bit, but it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Two separate things. which means sometimes we're hindered by things that aren't sin. And we want to say, is this a sin? Doesn't really matter. Is it hindering you? Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. They both can trip us up. So let's get rid of both of them. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let's run with perseverance. Let's go. Let's do this. But we can't if we don't have time to, if we're still tangled up in all these things. What if I don't feel it? What if we're going through these things and I don't feel it? Well, sometimes it's not about what you feel. It's about doing it. You know, same way, every time I get in the car, I put my seatbelt on. I don't think I'm going to be in a wreck, but, someday that might save my life. And the same thing is our spiritual disciplines, the more we do them, the more beneficial they're going to be. So carve some time out and do that. And just trust the Holy Spirit. And, it'd be really easy. We feel like if Jesus were just with us, walking around, holding our hand, telling us, no, don't do that. Nope, don't do it. Don't stop it right there. Let me sit you down and tell you what I want you to do today. We think that would be great, be easier. Don't we think that? But Jesus said the opposite. He told the opposite to the disciples. He said, but very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And the Holy Spirit is with us at every moment, working in us. But we can't hear him. We can't hear him, and we can't follow him if we're constantly distracted and we're constantly doing something. So take some time.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.